the greatest minds gathered from around the globe. It is Nerds That Know. Is it is or us?
Are.
Are?
Nerds
we are.
Nerds are know.
We are Nerds That Know.
I said Nerds Are Know. No,
yes, that's right.
Apparently, we know lots of things other than grammar. Yes.
We know everything.
And our own name.
Just improper grammar is our strong suit. Smurf here, along with the square table of...
Bobby.
The Stash.
And Keel.
We've been gone for a couple weeks, and a lot has happened. The world has gone completely crazy because that is not my Super Bowl champion. I'm just getting that out there right now. That's all I'm saying.
Nope, not my not Super okay. Bowl not mine either.
Nope, no. Not acknowledging it.
Mm-mm.
Sports ball happened?
Sports ball happened.
Did.
Ah, well, that's
if you had money to lose on the games, go donate.
You probably
donate
did.
It sucked.
Yeah.
But out of it came a lot of previews, a lot of things that we'll get to. We also will touch base on TV shows that are coming up. In addition to, we're breaking into the sciences. We are going to talk technical science, not nerd science. That's comics and crap and shit like that. But no.
We're going
to
talk that too.
We're going to talk that, but we're going to talk actual science.
Yes, because we do know things.
We do know things.
Some things.
Something.
All the things.
Just not grammar.
Yes.
So to kick it off, since we start with the Super Bowl, we'll go straight into the television.
All right. Let's
now,
do this.
What do you, did you watch Magicians? Because I know
I,
this
of
is
course.
Chomping.
I, of course. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we yes. did. I.
Yeah, the first three episodes
started.
Are actually available now
okay.
on demand.
There wasn't three when I watched them. I'm
Sucks
sorry.
To be you.
I have a life.
So how is the Dark Narnia? I mean, was the premiere all that? Because I want to know about the chick that stoinks a unicorn. That's all I really want to know about.
So I will say the premiere didn't really hit as hard as I wanted it to.
No.
I think the season finale hit so hard that they were kind of left reeling a little bit for the start of this first season.
Personally, I was kind of glad that they didn't hit it so hard coming back. I think a transition period back into the world... I mean, it wasn't necessarily a recap episode, but it kind of was.
Yeah.
And it, you know, reminded us what we're dealing with, what's at stake, and...
So it reestablishes the rules. It lays the groundwork.
Mm-hmm.
It does everything a season premiere is supposed to do very effectively.
But usually there's a cliffhanger. There's something that needs to be resolved. There's issues, and there was none of that.
There's a lot of stuff that needs to be resolved, but a lot of that happened in the season finale.
Yeah.
The one thing that I really liked, this is where they completely deterred from the books, is having the Chatwin kid, who is now...
Martin
Chatwin, is now become a main character in the second show. And the actor who portrays him is so much fun to watch. He is like when you watched Mads Mikkelsen play Hannibal in the NBC series.
Yeah.
He is like this very suave... Anybody with a British accent is going to be almost somewhat likable. As much as you hated Snape, you're like, well, he still's got a fucking British accent. You know?
They're either a villain or really smooth. We don't know which.
Yes. So,
well, and in this case, he's kind of both.
Yeah. And... Mm-hmm. I think he gets you to like him because he's getting the characters to like him, which is extremely what his character is to be manipulative to the point where we almost forget, like, oh, we should probably kill him after all this is said and done,
right?
Yeah, but he's also kind of Julia's bitch.
Yeah, they're each other's in a way.
I don't know. They're, like, perfect foils for one another right now, which is why I like how they started this.
I'm really interested to see how their relationship develops more, though.
I am too. I really think that they'll develop it effectively. I'm just worried. The problem is he is no longer the threat he was in the books or at the end of the season because they humanized him. And that's what happens when you humanize something incredible and gargantuan is it's relatable. And when it's relatable, it's instantly less fearful. Or
well, it takes away from the... Yeah, it takes away from the potency. It's you're like... It's like when they Nancified Darth Vader. I'm not scared of Darth Vader anymore. I think you poor sad sack of shit. You cheaty little bastard. It wasn't until we saw Rogue One that I was like, Vader's a badass again. Now I'm afraid.
Right?
But it was the whole, you take away that edge and it's like,
Yeah.
You're a Nancy. Yeah. I'll kick you in the knee because I know it's plastic.
And there's ways to do that. Yeah, it's all once you break down the character, it's you're less afraid of them. It's the same way a parent tells a child to break down their fears of the monster in the closet. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that Martin Chatwin is becoming this such likable character that when he imparts his wrath, if they decide that that's what they're going to do on the show, is going to be so much more terrifying for
they
everybody
have to.
That he's, we can even imagine.
I think that they're going to have to. I think that it's going to be like he's going to lull you into this false sense of security,
and then
it's just going to be like the knife is going to slide in so subtly that you're not even going to feel it until you're dead.
Pun unintended.
Yep.
Completely intended. Oh. That was totally on purpose.
Yeah.
Wait, your real name is Joffrey? Shit.
Okay, and there's a window right over there you can jump out of.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're going to do well. And I forgot how much fun that series was to watch. Because before I started these new episodes, all I did was I just did one day marathon. And I watched all of them in
exactly
one day. And you know what? It was just, it was fun. And I'd seen it before, so I was doing, you know, a few other things. But every time I was watching it, I was just enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real power of that series right now, is it's just an enjoyable series.
Completely. I actually just finished rereading book one from The Magicians. I read it yesterday. And it was one of those, like, having just rewatching this season one and then rereading book one and making all of those comparisons in my brain and going, oh my God, this is different, but the way that they portrayed this and then all of those other little things, you know, I can't wait till we get into talking about the book here and about all of the differences.
Well, Stash brought up a good point, too, is with all these shows coming out, and this is probably be an entire show about debating like this, but really quickly, I want to go around. When you watch a show like this that has so many things and you can't wait till the next episode, what is your favorite way of viewing it? Do you want to view it right when it comes out because you have that, like, that nerd lust, like, I must see what happens immediately when it happens? Or until the entire season is done and then just binge watching the hell out of it so you don't have to wait to see what happens next and you just over the course of like a day in your PJs.
Yes, to both because...
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I'll go for it.
Well, I'll use Doctor Who as an example because we don't know how The Magicians are going to go, but we know how the last season went and you have to stay up with it just so you can keep with the conversation. Mm-hmm. But you have to go back and see all the little shit in the background that you missed. Because a perfect example with Doctor Who, Saxon was there the entire freaking time.
Mm-hmm.
You had no idea until the final end, and you're like, smack my ass. Saxon is the master, and he has been here because the Saxon storyline was going, and you didn't pay attention to it. Same thing with The Magicians. You have all these characters, and he's going to stab someone in the back. Garen freaking
Oh,
Keith.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful.
It's Loki. I mean, I'm calling, that's Loki right there, and he's just waiting, and as soon as everyone's all like, huh, you know, that's the end. So I'll binge watch it afterwards just so I see what I missed.
And that's like how I do Game of Thrones. It's like I will watch every episode as it comes out, and then as soon as the season is over, I will rewatch the entire series from beginning to end, just to...
Wow, that is a commitment there.
That is a commitment there, but I also like to be cuddled while I'm watching it, so, you know, it's a win-win.
That's a heartbreak series to watch just on a binge. God, that's... Oh!
Because
there's lots of alcohol and cuddling involved, and so it works for me.
Naked cuddling. If you're out there and you're a naked cuddler, we could use you.
Like,
yes, Bobby is looking for naked cuddling buddies.
Stash also.
Yeah, just all. Not somebody who would do both.
We'll all take naked cuddling buddies.
Yeah.
It should be if anybody wants to come and naked cuddle us during our next podcast, please.
There we go.
Send your inquiries in.
No, not during the next podcast. Bobby refuses to see Stash naked cuddle. Sorry.
We'll have a divider. Anyway.
Awesome.
But here's the other thing, too, is like with books, you can come up with what a character looks like in your own mind, and you can have that loathsome hatred for any of the antagonists in there, but once it's personified on screen the same way it is with Martin Chatwin, you can't admit that there's just something so damn likable about him. And when he's singing throughout the entire last episode with the piano and just completely just pissing the hell out of Julia off.
Well, it's like, it's Negan. Walking Dead comes back this week, and it's like Negan. Negan you want to hate, but I mean, Jeffrey Dean Morgan does Jeffrey Dean Morgan such is awesome. Amazing mm-hmm. job at personifying Negan. I hate to say it, I almost want to say I'm Team Negan.
Well, so. See, I think they did that even with Penny. Because if you think about mm-hmm. it in terms, Penny in the book was not a very likable character.
Oh,
that
my
was
God, he
thing.
Was such a he pain was, in the ass, he whiny was, bitch.
He was an asshole is what he was all the time. But and this, the, like, they humanized him and made him, like...
Hot?
Well, yes.
Well, that's not for me to say, but they made him into a good character and, like, someone I enjoy seeing and someone who's... right now has one of the most interesting character arcs.
I agree.
Well, in the book too, though, like they completely 180'd his character, which was appropriate for the script and the way he got you know, his magic back yeah. and what he ended up becoming to the, what was it called, the Nether region?
Yeah,
Netherlands. The Netherlands.
The Netherlands. Became almost this very like Zen monk like character, yeah. which was the complete antithesis of how Penny started out. So I'm wondering what they're going to do with that over the series. And then that's the other thing too is when you have a series that's based off books that did have a definitive end, how many seasons do you stretch it out? To still make it viable, do you add more? Do you have a literary license to keep going with it,
or should you end it? Get a Game of Thrones out of it. Yeah, once some books you need to combine, some characters aren't there mm-hmm. that are in others. You start playing that roulette. And how many? Okay, so did they order a full season for this?
I'm fairly certain
yeah.
they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're doing 24.
I think their season's only like yeah. 14 on the Sci-Fi Channel.
I believe that's right.
Series.
Okay, so 14. Is that enough to cover book two?
I mean, they can essentially incorporated a lot of book two in the first series.
Yeah, in season one, they had a lot of book two already in there.
Yeah,
they did.
But a lot of Julia's storyline.
I think what they're going to do in Stash and I had a chance to talk to Terry Brooks at Comic-Con last year, and we talked to him about some of the making TV shows out of books. And, it was the thing, like, you have to have literary license when you're making a TV show out of a book series. Like, there are some things that are really critical, important to the plot line that have to stay there. But there are some things that just don't read well on TV that are in the book. Or
like,
something
like stoinking a unicorn?
Exactly.
You know what? I disagree.
You know?
I don't know, but that's all anyone's on fire about on the internet is someone stoinks a unicorn. I'm like,
okay. It wasn't a unicorn, was it? It was a... I thought it was a centaur.
Centaur?
Yeah, it was a centaur.
I'll have to reread the books.
Oh, I don't know. In the books, because I just finished reading book one, centaurs are just having sex with regular horses. Like, there's not like a human having sex with a centaur.
No, I'm talking about in the TV
but
series.
But in the TV series, like, I must have missed the stoinking of the, quadruped.
Well, they
quadruped.
Didn't actually show it, but it was mentioned. It was mentioned by the guy who was in the Netherlands and had the sweet food.
Oh, okay.
It was mentioned by
okay.
them.
Anyway. Okay, it was only mentioned. That's why it's not sticking in my brain the same way it is in Smurf. Smurf is apparently very interested in doing a whole Catherine the Great thing.
I am. I'm all about it. We'll let you know as the season unfolds, as we're only in by three episodes so far.
Correct.
So
the
as it breaks down.
The third episode isn't even yet. I think it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
It showed up on demand on Comcast Online today.
Huh. Ooh, early bird specials.
But we'll have more episodes.
We'll have more episodes to talk about. Sherlock, we touched on last time. Did you guys finish Sherlock? What was your final verdict?
Kiel, did you stay awake?
Yes, I did.
And what do you think?
So proud.
Thank you.
Aw, man love.
So I only made it through when I originally sat down to watch it, I made it through half of the second episode, which was just such a crazy heroin trip that it was late at night, and I'm like, I can't deal with this right now. Went back, watched it today, and then I saw the final episode called The Final Solution. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, I went online, and there was a lot of people saying that it might be the series finale. There's no word yet from BBC, but like I mentioned last week, with the popularity of both Martin Freeman and Benedict Cumberbatch, who it always tickles me that they were both in The Hobbit together.
Yes.
As Smaug and Bilbo.
Yep.
Which is great. the way...
I'm such a Cumberbitch.
If there was a way to make an ultimate, like, you know, denouement, but still great villain for both Mycroft and Sherlock, this was it. And, I mean, is it getting enough time that I can mention what's going on with it, or...
I don't know.
I would wait. Just because Sherlock is so... I mean, everyone I know that watches Sherlock still haven't even watched all of it yet.
Yeah.
Because I think it just consumes you.
It does. They're heavy episodes.
Very heavy.
Yeah. They really are, in this season especially. But people who know, the greatest villain for Sherlock was, in fact, Moriarty, because he challenged Sherlock to the brink and even pushed him over the edge on several occasions. And it was always a game in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was sitting down and just... playing chess out. Without even putting a finger on the piece and just looking that person in the eye and knowing that, checkmate. So,
love to see is somehow they turn Mycroft against Holmes.
But, see, I feel like they were doing that originally.
They kind of were, but then they backed off.
And then they backed off and made them super close, especially with this season.
Especially with the whole episode, though.
I think
that... pitting Mycroft against Sherlock, as fun as it would be, and it would probably make a great fanfic in this particular world Mycroft of the BBC version of Sherlock. It wouldn't. I don't know that it would play well.
I was reading this thing online today about all of the different Easter eggs that are in this particular season that go back to Sir Conan Doyle, about how this season was heavier than any of the previous seasons, about how there are all of these little things, like the dog, and like all of these other little things that are in this season. And
there was a portrait of him hidden in the background of one of the pictures.
Yeah, they were saying that this season was so heavy in the little Easter eggs and the little like salutes to anybody who's read the books. Mm-hmm. They're kind of going, wow, like... if you understand what this is based in, you're going to love this season more than any previous season.
But the end of every season, everyone says, this is it. This is Russell T. Davies, or not Russell T. Davies.
Stephen Moffat.
Stephen Moffat is done. He's doing too much dual duty. Now that he's done with Doctor Who, maybe we will see more Sherlock? I don't know.
Or maybe, like, you know, the people from Doctor Who and Sherlock, he wants to go on to bigger and better things. Granted, he's been a pretty big saving grace for BBC One over the last 10, 15 years now, and there's Golden Boy, and they won't let him go without a fight. However, I don't know if he would like to go on to more of a global scale of doing movies or maybe even something here in the States.
But I don't see Cumberbatch turning his back on it. Cumberbatch is so loyal to the fans.
Will Smith turned his back on Independence Day.
But that was a wise choice.
That was a very smart decision.
That was probably
I just want to watch an hour and a half of him and Goldblum in a spaceship just arguing. I would totally pay to see that movie.
You're so infatuated with fat women. Get off the fat woman. Wait, that came out wrong. Anyway, also with television, if you haven't watched it yet, please do. The trailer for Samurai Jack Season 5.
Oh my God.
Is tremendous.
My fanboy was screaming so loud and so hard. I watched it. Okay, so I saw it when it first released that morning on my phone, and I was like, I can't watch this until I get home on the big TV.
Yeah.
Turn the volume way up, ultimate, you know, clarity and everything like that. And I was like, I'm so glad I did, because it was such a good trailer.
There's a rush.
It really was, and they showed so much of what's going to happen, and I think it's going to be a solid series. I really do.
Now, Phil LaMarr does return as Samurai Jack. Unfortunately, we're not sure the fate or if who he's facing off against is really Aku. The actor who played Aku died 2 years after Season 4 wrapped. So, with his passing, who knows, but... Is it a new villain? Is it someone that... like another samurai that he's facing off against. That silhouette?
Yeah.
He looks like another samurai.
He very well could be, or he could be... Because that's how they're starting this series, is he went super far into the future. So maybe Aku modeled himself after Samurai Jack after being defeated by him so many times.
Maybe.
I mean, the thing is, does the main villain in the background actually matter?
No, it's always about Samurai Jack. It's all about Jack.
It's about Samurai Jack and the people he's facing at that time. Because that's the thing I loved about it, is there were a few reoccurring episodes, but you never knew what kind of crap he was going to get into.
No, ever.
And really, since when has the death of an actor ever stopped Hollywood from doing anything?
No, true story.
Yeah, that's true.
We're with you. I loved the comic book series when it was brought back. I read every single issue, the breaking of the sword, the putting it back together. It was nerdgasm.
It's a very powerful series. It really is. And I've argued a lot with people who say that Powerpuff Girls or Samurai Jack, which was more successful in its own way, and they're very different as much as they're the same.
They have similarities. They're teaching same core values, but to a different audience. Yeah. Girl power for the Powerpuffs, and pride, honor, and, you know,
anger.
Anger.
So much angry screaming.
I'd like to say the Powerpuffs are more than just girl power. Like,
I watched the hell out of Powerpuff Girls, I will admit, and like, him is still one of my favorite characters of all time.
Mojo Jojo.
Yeah.
I just like saying the name.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get, what is it, the Rough Rowdy Boys?
Rowdy Rough Boys.
Rowdy Rough Boys, thank you. You know, I mean, like...
All I know is I bought an ex-girlfriend all the Powerpuff statues that they came out with. I probably should have kept those.
Damn it.
I want them as plushies.
Now you can probably find those.
Yeah, but I also want a Baby Groot as a plushie.
No one wants a Baby Groot as a plushie.
Everybody wants a Baby Groot as a plushie.
Yeah, it'll happen.
That's true.
Baby Groot is awesome.
Samurai Jack will be hitting the airwaves March 11th. And
I can't believe it's that soon.
Soon? Yeah. I know. It's like, boom, they just hit us with that. I was like, holy shit.
They did. The only thing, I hope it sticks around, because they did say it was a limited series, but...
We'll see what
we
they
watched
do.
Watched the hell out of it.
You never know.
It could very well continue.
Voltron came back. I didn't think we'd see a season two of Voltron for Netflix, and sure shit we did. So who knows what's around the corner? Archer's also back on the air, and I'm astonished of the quickness this show can just make you go, what the hell?
So that is one of the beauties and benefits of Archer. Is they keep finding new ways of making you go, what the fuck are they smoking?
And would the show be successful without Pam?
No.
Honestly, I don't think the show would be successful with the exact cast that they have to voice everybody. I mean, it's a good point. It's absolutely, like, Chris Parnell, obviously H. John Benjamin, Jessica Walters as Mallory Archer, Aisha Tyler.
Oh my god, Aisha Tyler, she is amazing. I've gotten to see her live stand-up. She is awesome.
Absolutely so fantastic, and I love that if you watch other shows that H. John Benjamin does the voice for, every once in a while they'll throw a little thing in there. Like the most recent season of Bob's Burgers, that he's just having an off conversation before the actual dialogue begins. He goes, I do not sound like the guy from Archer. But they maintain keeping it fresh. Adam Reed and Matt Thompson, who created the show, are doing a fantastic, fantastic job. As it's getting its later seasons, my one fear, and it always will be for every show that I like, is at what point do we feel that it's jumped the shark, and what point do we need to Simpsons euthanize the show to make sure that it maintains its legacy in television history?
Okay, so comic or cartoon Face Off.
Okay.
Archer, South Park. I had given up on South Park, and I thought they had jumped the shark. But the last two seasons, holy shit. I'm talking absolute redemption for South Park.
I like South Park because, a lot of shows, regardless of whether or not they're animated or not, will still do some topical stuff. But the fact that Trey Parker and Matt Stone, have kept it so relevant and so satirical has been great. I read an interview with them, though, saying, we don't know what to do on South Park now that Trump has got elected, because everything that we would want to do is already happening in real life. Yes. Like, there's no, like, well, how the hell are we supposed to write something that is
actually happening?
We can't script this.
Because they scrapped an entire three episodes because of Trump winning, because they had it all done and ready to go. Then Hillary won, and then Trump comes in, and they're like, oh, well, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Impossible's here.
Yeah, well, you've heard that they've called the last, like, four presidents, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're just so on point with their criticisms. And the thing is, they are very, very much in tune to the pulse of American society.
It's true.
And they do that more effectively than any show I've ever seen.
And there's a great documentary, if you haven't seen it, if you want to see, regardless of whether or not you like the show or some of the episodes they come out with, there's a really cool documentary, I think it's called 6 Days to Air.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where, it shows you from the ending of an episode on a Wednesday night, the next day they are back in the studio, what's happening this week, let's put together an episode in 6 days to get out there. And it's absolutely insane.
They're ridiculously talented.
They're ridiculously talented, and they are workaholics. If you think Trey Parker and Matt Stone are just out there for like dick and fart jokes, yeah, they are. But as hard as they work on them, they become flatulence and phallus jokes.
Well, the problem is everyone thinks they don't work because they show – I mean, the seasons are so freaking short.
They are.
I mean, we're going to get 8-10 episodes maybe out of them a season?
Now, though. Now. But for the first 14 episodes, it was a full 2022 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're like, people will wait for it. It's worth it. Archer's kind of evolved into the same thing, and I don't it's going to be a race to see which one finishes on top in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Because both I have a love for. Simpsons, they're done.
But I also think that South Park and Archer are so very different because South Park is so topical and, you know, does, like Sasha was saying, have such a pulse on what's happening. Whereas Archer is just more like, let's fuck with people's brains. Let's see what's up. Let's sell coke. Let's join the mob. Let's do whatever. I mean, like, they just kind of... Like, and that's what's great about Archer, like, in general, you know, is it is kind of a break from reality with still being realistic, you know, whereas South Park is really going, well, fuck that. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, that happened.
But in a very, you know,
and we're going to draw little boys' penises on TV and get away with it.
Yeah. Exactly. And then they're going to come out, I just can't wait to see if they're going to do another show like they did with Book of Mormon. Because that one's still, like, I've seen that show 4 times, right? And it is so technically brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a funny show, but if you actually look at it for the technical aspects of it, some of those songs, you have to have an amazing range and skill to be able to perform in that show, right? And I don't think people realize that from a theatrical standpoint. So I can't wait to see what else they do besides just South Park.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what the next stage of their lives, because it is, right. I mean, yeah, South Park is getting into its twilight years, I think, and... You know, obviously they're not going to deny the paycheck from Comedy Central because they're not idiots. But at the same time, with the success of the Book of Mormon and other things that they've pretty much been successful in every endeavor that they've had.
They really have.
Since South Park. And even if you're a fan of some of their older stuff like Orgasmo or Hannibal the Musical.
God, I loved Orgasmo.
I think they have a lot more to give.
Fuck Orgasmo. That movie pissed me off. That was the hilarious. Biggest fucking tease ever. All I wanted to see were boobs. That's all I wanted to see. And I didn't get it. What Aww, I got, I didn't want. And poor that baby. Just pissed me off.
Dude, you got hot puppet action in Team America, though.
Team America, right? I will give you... That does give me some wood.
Damn near disturbing.
Yeah, that's giving me wood on that one.
Unintended.
Right, yeah. But what really killed me is when South Park took a shot at theater. And the whole episode...
Oh, that episode was so good.
And it just set the tone for Book of Mormon, and
it
I'm like...
really did.
You,
I mean, they
you
make fun
cheeky
of,
bastards.
Yeah, they make fun of themselves so well and so subtly that most of the time people don't realize it.
It's almost Mel Brooks-esque.
They're solid at the punchline, but they're geniuses when it comes to the setup.
So we'll see how... I don't know if they can keep up.
No,
these last 2 seasons are flukes. I'm waiting for this. The wheels are going to fall off. There's no way they can keep up with this.
I think a lot of it is... It's hard work for them to make episodes like that. And they're on, what, season, like, 20? It's some stupid high
something
number.
Something ridiculous.
Jesus.
Yeah. And it's like, they've been doing this since I was, like, you know, 8, 9.
Shut up, youngin.
Yeah, and Yeah. But that and Archer is great. And also to the listeners, if there's any animated adult series that we're not checking out, like I haven't seen F is for Family on Netflix yet, but if there's something we should be checking out, please feel free to shoot us a note.
How do you finish Archer? How does Archer finally
end? With ants.
With ants?
That's how you get ants.
We need to say no more. We'll focus on The Expanse, which is also coming
really quickly
back.
Though. Premiere for Archer, April 5th, 10 p.m. So we'll be talking about it coming up in the next month and a half.
Yep. The Expanse is also coming back.
All right.
This
bad boy over here.
We'll let you take this. Because
I'll step back because I know nothing about it.
I've watched the first season, and I love that the Punisher is the main character.
Right.
Thomas Jane. Who even did
and
his
he
own?
He looks so different that I wasn't sure if it was him or not.
Wait, as the Punisher?
No, that would be.
I'm like, now I'm really going to the Punisher in space.
Thomas Jane, who I really feel bad because after the Punisher, he did his own fan film Punisher as a sequel where he goes to the laundromat. It's a great short if you haven't watched it.
It's an awesome
It is amazing. Really. Check that out.
Really quickly about the Tom Jane thing, a show that I never saw and I'd actually like to go back and watch, Hung.
Hung was great. I love that series.
Yeah, I heard he was great in that, so I'll check that out at some point.
The man just would not give up, and he was it was like it was like Breaking Bad for the porn industry is all it really was. I really don't want to do this, but I guess I'm going to have to. And, you know, out comes Hung. So it's a great show. And he is different. He is so just broken.
He is. He is damaged, and not in a heroic way. He is damaged in a way that makes you feel like, I need to get this guy a beer and listen to his problems because
I think he'd shoot you before he would tell you him. And then
he would
take your apartment over.
Oh, yeah. He is a rabid, terrible person, yet at the same time so rich and full of character that like I can't help but love him. And it's like he's so I don't know, he's damaged like no protagonist I've seen in a long time.
So you have three warring communities essentially. You have the Earth, you have
this is pre-war. I think the new season is going to be the actual war is going to start.
Right, because it was you have the Earth, you have the mining colony on Mars.
It's Earth,
and the
Mars,
asteroids.
And the asteroids. And the asteroids are the ones I'm most intrigued by because they're so damaged.
Those are the ones that I'm really waiting to just see, like, completely come off the chain for season two.
Oh, yeah, because, like, when they were talking about there was an episode where they did gravity torture to a guy. It's one of those things I never even would have thought about.
Even considered that as a way of torture.
Yeah, but it is.
It's like waterboarding in space. It's like, oh, that's not right.
Did he look like Arnold Schwarzenegger on Mars? With his eyes popping out of his head?
Look at me, I'm over here, my eyes are bugging out of my head, they're terminated, get to the chopper.
That movie is so amazingly terrible.
And the remake was even more dog shit.
Yes.
But anyway, be honest, you watched it for the same reason I did, to see a
three boom. We're talking about Total Recall, nobody caught on, by the way. And
We shifted gears.
The original was fun and entertaining, and the remake was just dog shit bad, and didn't have a three boob chick in it, which just...
Yes, it did.
Did it?
Yeah. She was Asian.
Oh,
sorry. They were small. You didn't see them.
I've suppressed so much memory of that movie out of my brain. So anyway,
I couldn't see a Colin Farrell taking over Arnold Schwarzenegger's role. I'm just like, you guys are out of your damn mind.
Oh yeah, but no, The Expanse. It's such a well-written series that, like, your criticism that you brought up to me when I was like, I'm not sure if it's happening or not, was very valid because it's such a heavy series. That I don't think
it
appeals.
Very rich. It did not do what they thought it would, but
But it makes sense because it will hit terribly hard with like true sci-fi fans, but a person who's just looking for like mindless action is not going to get it.
Well, and I asked this to a science fiction writer, local one, on another podcast for an interview: is television the new bastion for science fiction? Because I think we've seen it run its course. For movies. I think it's done. But I think the new frontier for science fiction now has swung back to TV to where we might actually see some decent shit for a change.
I think it is, because the thing about science fiction is the movies now are just so gimmicky on special effects that they have to be, because that's what people want, and that's what people go into a science fiction film expecting. Well,
and if they don't have that, then they fail at the box office.
Yeah. So think of, Jupiter Ascending. That movie was fucking terrible. That movie was so bad.
It really was atrocious. It wasn't even, good on a chick flick level.
No, but the special effects in it, they had some pretty incredible special effects. And it's like, it did decently because of A, that, and B, because it had
Channing Tatum.
Candy.
Yeah.
From the Wachowski sisters.
From the the Wachowski sisters.
Yeah, also, real quick on that, and we'll talk about it probably later in the year, but they are remaking Memento. Just throwing that out there.
What?
The Wachowskis, shut up. The Wachowskis themselves are remaking Memento.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And we'll talk about that later. Back to the Expanse, because I know you guys are excited.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there.
All right, Keel, no more sidebars for you.
So, because the one twisted date sci-fi movie with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence was really freaking twisted. If you did not see this one went completely... The trailers... Not even on spot with what the hell the story was about.
Yeah.
Totally missed the mark. No spoilers on this one, so you gotta see it, because it's just fucked up.
Really?
Stalkers in Space is what it should have been called.
Yeah, okay, the one where they wake up and they're all, swimming in a weird water bubble.
Yes.
Even know what the hell that movie's about.
This should have been called Stalkers in Space is what it should have been called.
Well, just interesting.
Saying. Yes.
But I will say they have made... I know you don't see Tom Cruise movies, but...
No.
Edge of Tomorrow was a phenomenal movie.
Never saw it. Heard really good things, though.
Like, I hate him as an actor. I think...
Oh, he's horrid.
I think...
I just like him as a human being.
What? Is it Oblivion? I don't know. He made another science fiction film right before that, and it was... such garbage that I was like, I'm never going to see anything with him in it ever again.
Did you see World War Z 2 got put out? Pushed back?
Oh, well...
Yeah, that got pushed out for sci-fi talking about bad acting, and I don't know if that has something to do with Brad Pitt or something else. But
I knew that movie was going to be garbage as soon as I saw the trailer.
Tom Cruise doing The Mummy just wound me up. I was like,
okay. I got mad at that.
Yes.
No, have you seen the new trailer?
I saw the trailer.
If I hadn't have seen
there's a new trailer?
No, there's a new trailer that's actually a full-length trailer, and it shows so much more. Like, it doesn't look like any sort of remake. It looks completely different.
It's a new story, but
I mean, it's obviously... It doesn't look as campy. It definitely looks like it has a really big, like, almost darker... twist to it with the budget of Hollywood, but after seeing the fun Brendan Fraser ones, not the Scorpion King, but the first two, which I really, really liked, I was just all like... Really?
Rachel Weisz was great, Brendan Fraser was enjoyable, the one Arabian that has way too much information and talks excessively for a silent guy.
Right, but he was so cool!
Yeah.
The guy who was the gigolo and Deuce Bigelow.
I was like, I
appreciated the campiness. Like, I even, much to my shame, watched the third one with the Chinese warrior whatever. Because that one also had Brendan Fraser, and it had the brother, the guy who played Jonathan, whose actor's name is currently evading me right now. Yeah. But, like,
it's fine.
I mean, I enjoy the campiness.
This, honestly, what it really looks like is they took the inspiration for The Mummy from the villain in Justice League,
Suicide Squad.
The
Enchantress.
Voodoo, the Enchantress, thank you. It's like they essentially stole her as a villain and brought her over. And
so is it just like badly named?
It is following the mummy because it's I don't know how they're going to tie it, but she's somehow in the sarcophagus and gets free.
Okay, I still don't want to see it.
I mean, I will say I'm more interested in it now than I was when I first heard about it, but I am by no means going to be seeing this in theaters. I will, you know, when it comes out on, like, USA in a decade.
Money says a year and a half this is on USA. The international release for The Mummy.
Yeah, this will definitely be I'm sci-fi. Stuck in a hotel. I have three channels, and it happens to be on one of them.
That's right.
Yeah, that's how I'll end up watching this movie if it ever happens. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm excited for it. But back to The Expanse.
The Expanse is... When is that premiere?
Oh, it's already started. Mm-hmm. We're... Two episodes in.
All right, so it's on my DVR. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet either because I was trying to rewatch the first season, and you can't find the first season anywhere. No.
This first season is not available unless you're willing to pay for it. That's how much they really are proud of this series, and they should. Effects were great.
The story and the characters were so good.
It is Battlestar Galactica and so much more.
And I'm super bummed because you can only watch... what's on demand on your actual TV. Like, I only have Comcast on my computer.
Yeah, I think they're very, very limited. It's super strict. Yeah, a lot.
So, like, I'm going to have to watch it here at work.
Oh, speaking of which, on a Battlestar Galactica note, Richard Hatch passed away today.
Oh.
The original Apollo. So we'll as soon as we watch The Expanse, we'll.
That was like a down.
Sorry, yeah, no, I just that just totally hit my head, and I was like,
sad
oh,
day.
Damn, a great guy who was fun to talk to, and I've had lengthy conversations and cocktails with the man. We'll let you know as soon as we watch The Expanse, what to look for, and how of a train wreck Thomas Jane is, and what the miners. I want to see the asteroid guys just come
too.
In and just. Hair
I
ass.
Do too. I really think they will because they're so impoverished. They remind me of the slave class.
Yes.
And in every story, the slave class is the one that ultimately has the greatest power.
Mm-hmm. So they're coming from Mars.
Yeah, this series reminds me so much of Metropolis that it's unbelievable.
I've got notes here. The Arrival, I did not see this.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet, but I will be going to see it now. All
right.
Because it got re-released into theaters because it's so good.
Is it that? Is it really that good? Or
I'm
just
looking at it right now.
I
actually have seen it. Right now, it has an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 94% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. If you trust that, I happen to trust Rotten Tomatoes more than some of the other websites out there, but personally, I really enjoyed the movie. Because what you guys were saying is TV going to be the new trope for sci-fi?
Right.
And with sci-fi movies that are released in theaters, yeah, it's all about the special effects, explosions, seeing it in 3D with the surround sound, which is a fun experience, mm-hmm. but it doesn't really have any weight behind it to carry it.
Nope.
Or for people who, like me, enjoy actual science, watch it. Now, did you see it, Bobby?
I did not. Okay. I have been working like a crazy person. So I think if everybody here is chill with it, we say this is a Nerds That Know Homework assignment. And whoever doesn't watch it before our next podcast, we pull out the spanking bench.
No, tar and feather.
Goes to time.
No, no. I'm going to pull out the spanking bench.
Well, you say that like all of us don't like that.
Yeah, so. But I'm gonna have Patrick here. They don't like that. Yeah. You might.
With...
Oh.
I'm trying to get away from that.
Really, trying to keep us focused here.
Yeah, I know.
Mentally
so
speaking,
with,
we just go off track.
Okay, so you're willing you're willing to throw the weight behind this, saying that this is actually a thinking man, science fiction, true to the bone film.
It is, and for several reasons, because I did a lot of research after I saw the film. It was like 2 in the morning when I finished it, and I'm all like, I really have to know about this. It's very interesting. Obviously, the special effects are there. They didn't rely too much on them. Obviously, they're crisp and clean and just very, very interesting. But what I really liked about it is, and there's nothing you couldn't read online, but 12 of these ships appear all over the world.
It's rather end of the day the Earth stood still.
Yeah, the day the Earth stood still, kind of ish. And they recruit Amy Adams' character, who is one of the foremost. Experts on language and being able to interpret language.
So she's a linguist.
Yeah. So what she is she's brought in to try to interpret their language, and it's this whole interesting thing behind it. But And I won't go into more detail until next week or in 2 weeks from now when we've all seen it, but both linguists and people from NASA and people from SETI said if we were to be able to make contact with an extraterrestrial life that had no basis, and it's a lot of cuneiform writing based on glyphs and stuff like that.
Right.
This would be probably the way that we would approach being able to communicate with them by taking it small, as if we're learning a little language for the first time, which essentially we are, and taking it to progress from just words to full sentences and thoughts to being able to actually communicate. So with that being said, I really thought that that was interesting. The same way I really enjoyed a lot of, not all of, because, you know, you have to take some liberties, the science in Interstellar.
Well, see, and that's what I thought. I honestly thought it was going to be Jodie Foster, you know.
In Contact,
where it comes in, and it's the day the Earth stood still, and it just ends up into this big political, military drama, and you have the end of where the ship comes out of the water, and it's Ed O'Neill, and it's the end of the world.
And, I mean, some of it is a little like that, and it's obviously a military operation, but it is, I think, true to life exactly how we would approach these situations. And sometimes there's that itchy trigger finger over the, you know, the red nuke button to, you know, shoot first, ask questions later.
They're here to kill us.
They're here to kill us, obviously, but it's not that. And it's really, really interesting, and it's very heartfelt, but there's also a lot of great science behind it. And if you do enjoy science and figuring out, yeah, this is a really close depiction, and it can still be made into a blockbuster movie. And, you know, it has Amy Adams, it's got Jeremy Renner in it, who is great.
And after Jeremy Renner did his little piano thing on Fallon,
which
huge,
I loved.
Huge respect for the guy. Amy Adams, not hard on the eyes, let's face it. Just that alone, and yeah. I'm surprised she hasn't said anything yet.
Sorry, I was asking the downstairs neighbors to turn it the hell down.
But since nobody but me have seen Arrival, and we mentioned Jeremy Renner, who plays Hawkeye, who is also a character in our next subject that we're going to be talking about, which is the Old Man Logan comic.
So, with the new movie coming out, all of us have sat here and quandered how close they are going to come to the comic. There are certain elements that they will have to bypass just because they don't have the rights to it, especially the showdown between Wolverine and Hulk, which is one of the most classic matchups we've ever seen, with
it's
the exception
so
of
cool.
Hulk versus the Thing or Wendigo.
Honestly, though, based on what I've seen from the trailers, and we brought it up because I'm a huge fan. That is probably one of my favorite comic books that have been produced, plus Mark Millar is just...
Mark Millar so totally just hits the cheap seats with this storyline.
And I have been devouring them. Like, I have volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4 on my iPad now, or on my tablet, and I've just, like, been devouring.
Oh, my God, it's so good, the storyline about this post-apocalyptic era, but I don't think that Logan has anything to do with the Old Man comic books. It's just Logan as we assume from the trailer, much older after a lot of things in that particular Marvel universe has happened. I don't think it has anything to do with the Old Man.
So you don't
Logan
think they pulled
books.
Any inspiration from it?
Okay. I hope they did.
I don't think so at
I
all.
Really hope that they did, though.
I hope that they did, and there was a while, they were talking about it a while ago, really, really wanting to secure the rights and lock it down and get a script for Old Man Logan, because it would be awesome to see that cinematically.
So there's a scene that I saw, it's in the news trailer that I think came out during the Super Bowl, where he's sharpening his claws, or is he trying to pull the claw out?
And I guess that's left up to interpretation. I saw that as well.
And I'm like,
I think sharpening.
Oh. But he doesn't need
I think sharpening.
No. Too.
I think that, I don't think it's like,
it's a hell of a teaser.
I don't think it's sharpening in the traditional sense. I think it's more of like, you know, like, just making that motion of, like, look at me, I'm a badass. Yeah.
I think it's the sins of the father. The demons are coming back because he looks cashed in.
He's obviously much older, and, you know, anybody who's... I mean, there's been so many inceptions of Wolverine, and anybody in any DC or Marvel universe has died and come back to life so many times.
Very true.
But Old Man Logan, if you haven't read it, please check it out. I think even Marvel.com has it online for you to check out.
Well, it was just released last week in a new hardcover edition, which I told Bobby that she should probably pick up. And it is, I mean, it's a 4-issue limited series. It's probably actually hard to find the actual issues anymore, because just like Millar's stuff for Wanted, for Kingsman, for any of Millar's stuff that he does, I mean, it's gold. It's freaking money. The best part about this is how we find the United States, because the villains win. The villains absolutely, right? Totally win in Logan.
In Old Man Logan.
Right, and you have that whole Hulk everything. Like,
you have Hulk, but you have, when you look at the map, you have Magneto's got his section, Dr. Doom has his section. It is so just like, the heroes are on the run, they have nothing, and how they played Wolverine to take out the X-Men.
Oh my god.
Was so sad. It's so sad, and I had to reread that issue twice.
That one, that double page,
the panel
of just everybody slaughtered. It's one of the most I think quintessential art pieces in any comic book, I think, in the last 15 years is just so amazing.
But the whole,
I love the way they flip back and forth between, you know, the time zones and, you know, the post-apocalyptic, you know, the villains have gotten their shit together and banded together. And that's really the only reason the heroes always win, is because the villains fight against each other as well.
Exactly.
And seriously, if Bruce Banner hadn't gone, hey, I'm going to fight for the bad guys now, they never would have gotten their shit together. Let's be honest.
And he's always the rogue. We never know what's going to happen. But that, my poll with the whole story is Mysterio.
Yeah.
Because how does holograms trick Wolverine? That was my only issue with that entire series. And I need to reread it, because maybe they explained it and I missed it the first time or the second time.
Well, I'm only halfway through volume 3 and I haven't seen that explanation yet.
I mean, I guess it would be similar,
because the same thing with the Daredevil storyline. When Kevin Smith wrote that series, again, it was Mysterio, but that's not his power. That's not his bag.
Yeah.
So that was my only, like, okay, maybe they found a way.
I think if you take it with, I mean, and not even a big grain of salt, but with a grain of salt, you can understand how that might be tricked. And I mean, but if you think about it, there's easily ways to justify it. The whole Project X thing, where Wolverine's brain has been scrambled so many times that it probably wouldn't be that hard to trick him, just because he's just been so devastated mentally over the last 100 years.
The Humpty Dumpty commercial we saw where they couldn't, and the yolk keeps coming in.
Oh god, that was so disgusting.
That was really disturbing.
With the little yolk like dripping out of the, oh, so nasty.
That's so nasty. Brain at this point.
And I really haven't gone online to see what the synopsis of Logan is yet, which is my bad as one of the nerds who know, but based on the trailers, from what I gather, Professor X looked like he's kind of on his deathbed, or his death chair, as the case may be.
It's in his head, dude.
And then that's what that was your Smurfs hypothesis, is Professor X is not really there. I think he's this, you know, Obi-Wan figment of Wolverine's mind, trying to keep his Jiminy Cricket conscious in place before he just snaps. And then there's this little girl who's seeming like this crazy ninja badass, but we don't know. But I don't think it has anything to do with Old Man Logan.
That's X-23.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, all things kind of point to that, especially with the latest trailer. We see her berserk rage. It's setting up to hand the torch. Jackman's done. Here comes X-23.
Well, and cool. He said this is his last time playing Wolverine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's basically said, he's like, I've enjoyed it, but really, I'm done. He's like, I'm hanging up my claws. Thanks, but
I like throughout it all, like, almost 15 years now, right?
Yeah, at least.
Almost 20 now. He has never once said he's resented the character. He said he's enjoyed playing it so much, and he said, if I could physically, I probably would do it for the rest of my life. But he said, you know, years ago in an interview, there's probably going to be a time where I'm going to have to, you know, put that yellow leotard away.
I mean, to see him just go through that regimen to get Wolvied up. Yeah.
The more Wolverine films are released, the more jacked he looks.
Yes.
It's my god, it's so fabulous. And from a complete theater nerd standpoint, when he was in the middle of making just the Strictly the Wolverine movies, and he was also doing Boy from Oz on Broadway, and he hosted the Tonys, and he did this whole thing about
Patrick Harris.
He actually, they did a whole sing-off battle that was a different year. But he was hosting the Tonys one year when he was in The Boy from Oz. He was releasing Wolverine that year, and he did this whole "I won't dance, don't ask me" number.
Yes, I remember that,
because he was like, he's like, I'm supposed to be Wolverine. I'm supposed to be this tough badass, and he's wearing tap shoes the whole time. He's like talking about how he's these two different, completely different types of people, and all in one. And it's just, I'm like, I love you. I love you so hard.
And he's is Wolverine so Jean Valjean?
Right? Right?
Hugh Jackman's, I don't care. I do have a super big crush on Hugh Jackman just because he is just awesome, and he seems like the coolest guy, talented on so many levels. And if this is your last go at Wolverine, Jackman,
I hope you picked a good one.
I hope you picked a good one, and best of luck.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll let you know what we decide for our next week when we come back. Going into the weekend, we have a stacked deck. The con season is quickly approaching. At the end of the month, we will be at Galaxy Fest.
Yes.
At least Bobby and I will be. I don't know if you two are sitting that one out. You going to go up to the
I'm
Springs?
Not sure. That's in the Springs, which is my hometown. I feel like I owe it to them. But there's not too many. Galaxy Quest is one of the smaller ones that is in the Springs.
Quest is the movie?
I know. Galaxy. I keep saying the same thing. When we were doing our conference call yesterday, I kept calling it Galaxy Quest because it's
you
one of my favorite movies.
You guys should totally come. I'm walking in the fashion show Cherry Bombs.
There's going to be a couple of celebrities there from smaller parts. Garrett Wang, who played Ensign Kim on Star Trek Voyager, is going to be there. Keegan-Connor Tracy,
Garrett Wang. He's such a sweet guy.
Who is the Blue Fairy on Once Upon a Time, which unfortunately just went so
downhill. I hate that fucking show.
And a couple of others are going to be there as well. And I haven't been to Galaxy Fest yet, so I'm looking forward to my first time there.
This will be my second year there. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing Garrett Wang again. I really appreciate having talked to him previously and having him confirm that DS9 is the best Star Trek and Voyager can suck it.
Oh, God.
So, you know.
Well, Voyager can't suck it, but the TNG was the best series.
Yeah. It's called Babylon 5. And
I'm sorry. I talked to him about it.
TSO. The original series.
Is so cheesy and campy that it's amusing.
That it's fantastic and delightful.
No you just like it because you want to be Captain Kirk and have sex with all of the various alien races.
I do that already.
Who doesn't?
I'm just saying. Like, let's be honest.
Hey, any one of you guys are welcome to write a show that's still as popular 50 years later with a theremin as its theme song, all right?
So, I've actually seen the Colorado Symphony play at the theremin.
Yes.
It was awesome.
It's actually really trippy to see. Scott actually showed me how to play it. Cool. Also coming up will be Wings Over the Rockies, where I will be in full Ghostbuster gear along with the rest of my team, the Colorado Ghostbusters, for an 80s hoedown.
Yeah, that's this Friday. We will
Saturday.
Be oh, that's Saturday.
Saturday.
Fabulous. Then we can be there.
Yep.
Because Friday is Depeche Mode at Ominous.
Yes. And
Depress Mode?
Really? Yes.
Yeah.
Stash will be in a fashion show.
Apparently.
He's going to be a knight
today.
Everyone needs to come and cheer on Stash as he struts down the runway.
Yeah.
And shakes his booty.
Or something.
Wow.
It's going to be fabulous. I will be there with a video camera.
So that's where we'll be this coming weekend. This date in nerd history is the 25th anniversary of Wayne's World. Which I'm surprised they haven't done another movie, but just because there's a bit of a war between the two of them.
Oh, really?
Between Dana Carvey and Mike Myers?
Yeah.
Really?
They had a huge falling out. Mike Myers' ego got a little bit too big for Dana Carvey to handle and just said...
Which is a shame, because the one time I met Mike Myers, I was working an event. I did improv in Chicago, and we had our 25th anniversary show, and I've got to rub elbows with a ton of celebrities. It was great, and Mike Myers sat down at our table, and he couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Wow!
So I've heard both stories. Mike Myers could be a little standoffish sometimes. Sometimes he's just super nice. I just happen to be on an evening, but I also On the Dana Carvey note, he does have a new stand-up special out called 50 Single White Male or something like that. And it's actually very, very funny. So I'm glad he's still making...
The best one is his Saturday Night Live, Chopping Broccoli.
So,
I love that.
He's still around. And Dana Carvey, best luck to him. Let's see. Not too other much else in history. One video game that I know Stash is a huge fan of was released this year, a few years ago, Fable.
Oh, shit, really? I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. I knew you were going to kick yourself for not knowing that.
I should have known that.
Going to blow the dust off that game?
I'm sorry?
Going to blow the dust off that game?
I will. I love those games so hard. They're so fun. You can be so incredibly evil, yet just do the right thing and be perfectly fine.
Yay! What killed me is
I will sleep with every girl I come across. But it's true. I'll give money to charity, and it'll all be fine.
Everything's okay. I love the
cheers. You mean like you do in real life?
Get the town.
Not everyone. Just select body types.
That's right.
Just the hot ones.
If you have boobs, be careful. You might get seduced by the Stash.
I do.
No. You have to be really thin and damaged.
Well, you know what?
It makes it all the better to put them back together. That's right. All.
The crazy ones are better in bed. Everyone knows this to be true.
Next time I'll get on the ball and we'll have a little more nerd history for you because I think it's fun to do stuff
it
like
is,
that.
It look it back is. In the window. Now, the techie side, yes. I'm going to pick one, and just because I've studied both topics, but I'm going to go with it just because it's so overdue with the poles reversing polarities. Mm-hmm. Now, this has been a very interesting topic in the science world just because it has been so overdue. They're saying billions of years, and we are way past due. Now, the acceleration rate of which the magnetic poles have begun to deteriorate is alarming everybody. Now, has this affected and influenced global warming? That remains to be unseen, but with birds... internal clock and compasses being thrown off by the magnetic pole shift, you're seeing it in the population of birds, insects, and it's affecting everything at, I wouldn't say molecular level, but definitely you are seeing the effects. Is it going to happen in our lifetime?
I'm not sure, and I don't know what to expect, and it's with these huge cosmic events, is it just like, all right, well, north was north at 12 o'clock today, and at 12:30, north is now south. How quickly does it happen? But we noticed a few years ago, remember when all those birds were just randomly dropping out of the sky, like by the thousands?
Yeah.
And as I was reading this, a sign of the molecular or the pole shifting is from Zimbabwe to Costa Rica, the magnetic field that surrounds the Earth that keeps out all of the bad gamma radiation, mm-hmm. X-rays, and all the stuff has always been thin, but it's growing thinner and thinner, which might lead to a rise in cancer and other things that usually don't bombard the Earth, which might start doing it now. So when is that shift going to happen? But we're also, 10,000 years overdue for an ice age as well, and all these certain things. So if global warming or
Homo
sapiens in their present form, have they affected the Earth where it's not allowed to go through its cycles like it once used to?
Completely.
Well, if Yellowstone goes, we're done.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're kiss this goodbye, guys.
Yeah.
New ice age.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. Everyone's like, Yellowstone is overdue. It's been overdue for like thousands of years.
Yes,
and I'm like,
is.
Well, you know what? What's the word? Why worry about it? I mean,
I don't have to pay my credit bill tomorrow.
What's going to happen is going to happen. We really don't have any control over that. As superior as we like to think we are.
Well, I know. As we like to think, journey to the center of the Earth, all we have to do is release some nuclear missiles down there to release the pressure on the tectonic plates.
Oh, that movie with, what's her name? And the other guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The fighter chick.
The core. Thank you. Yes.
The core.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
The other guy who played... Two-faced.
Never going to be, anyway. Never, ever going to be that.
No. But, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, why really worry about it? We're overdue for all these terrible natural disasters. The way I figure it, just have as much fun.
My money, if I'm going to go on any science-y stuff that's going to happen, it's not going to be the poles. California is just going to break off. And it's just going to become, just from the pure stupidity of the Kardashians' ego, that sinks California. And that is my scientific evaluation of that. If you have any conjectures on it, please, by all means,
just went right out the window.
Shoot one right at me.
Send it over to us on our Facebook page.
And if you have any other topics you would like the Nerds That Know to tackle, please let us know. And unless there is something else from the plethora of knowledge in front of me, we will sign off.
Just the two more quick things from our science corner. One, the Hubble telescope has captured the death of a star that is in, I kid you not, called the...
Was it the rotten egg?
Yeah.
Or smelly egg or something like that?
Rotten egg galaxy.
Which
I believe, and I'm sure that's not a sign. I'm sure it has like Galaxy X23R-49.
Yeah, we're totally Stargate. But
The pictures that they've captured are quite breathtaking, and it's the closest that scientists have come to observing what the inevitable heat death of our own solar system will look like when the sun explodes. They said that the gases and dust from the exploding star reach speeds of 634,000 miles an hour or 1,000,000 kilometers an hour, which is pretty darn fast. And one other thing that I'd like to talk about, and this is either great news for everybody or just girls or just guys.
No, I think that we save this one till next show because I have a lot to say on the fact that they are coming out with
I
feel like we should let our listeners give their input, and then we'll give our scientific input when we come back.
All right, there you have it. The reverse tease from Bobby is?
Male birth control. Thoughts?
Does it work for you? And on that thought, we're all stories in the end, so make it a good one.